In an argument about frequency of sex, my now ex-husband told me he had been holding a grudge against me for not making more of an effort to pleasure him during the postpartum period. He felt that he deserved that as a reward for taking on more household tasks. When I reminded him that I couldn't walk for 3 months without assistance, he said, "You had two hands and a mouth." Another one. My ex-husband told me that it was disgusting to see milk coming out of my breasts when I was nursing our children, because they were sexual objects that belonged to him. He was 100% in favor of breastfeeding, but only if he didn't have to see it happening. I had to go to another room to nurse. I finally got sick of it and told him he should leave the room if he was so bothered by it. This is the Liberating Motherhood Podcast. I'm Zahn Velines, a writer and activist. I publish a bonus podcast once a month for paid Substack subscribers. So if you're interested in getting more content, go to zahn.substack.com and subscribe. I am here with my husband.
Hey, my name is Jeff. I'm a civil rights attorney, Zahn's husband, and I'm here to help with this podcast. We'll continue to do so for as long as I am useful.
So this podcast is going to be about what is wrong with men and sex. And I want to do a little bit of framing of this issue because there's all kinds of sexual problems that a couple can have. But one thing that we see over and over again and that all of the data show us is that women are less happy in their relationships than men are. And so what ends up happening is women lose interest in having sex with partners that they are not happy with. So it's typically the man wanting sex and the woman not wanting sex. There can be other dynamics. There can be abusive dynamics where it's the reverse. And we'll talk about that in a subsequent podcast. But for this podcast, we're going to talk about the most common dynamic, which is that a man becomes progressively more sexually coercive because his partner is not happy with him and is therefore not wanting to have sex.
That must be because of genetics and evolutionary biology. Certainly, there must not be any other explanation.
You know, I bet it is. We just shouldn't even do this podcast. It's, you know, women have their estrogen and their estrogen makes them not interested in sex. The fact that they have an entire organ devoted to sexual pleasure and can have limitless orgasms definitely does not mean anything. So we're joking and we don't believe in biological explanations for this. We also think that biological explanations for this can be really harmful. Here's what that looks like. Well, men just want more sex than women. And so it's inevitable that he's going to want more sex than her. And that means she's just going to have sex with him sometimes when she doesn't want to. But she's not a blow-up doll. She doesn't exist for his pleasure. And the couple needs to work together to have the amount of sex that they both want.
Yeah, it's important to not go to biological and genetic, mostly bullshit, when there are clearer explanations right in front of you. And I think one of the reasons people go to those explanations is because they want to justify their own problems, because it's hard to admit how bad the problem is in your own life. So maybe we should look at how bad the problem is in other people's marriages and make everyone realize that they're not alone.
Yeah, just, I mean, generally, these genetically determinist arguments across the board are used to justify the status quo and to remove responsibility from individuals and society. Another area where we see it all the time is that girls are socialized differently from birth. There's tons of data about this. People will make different attributions to a crying baby depending upon what they think the child's gender is. And then after years and years of gender socialization, the parents throw up their hands and they say, "I don't know why she likes pink and Barbie, and I don't know why he's so aggressive," when they've socialized them into this. So this stuff about anything men or women do being innate does not make sense until we have removed all the systemic pressures that force and coerce men and women to conform.
It also doesn't make sense because the only thing those innateness arguments do is get you to a generality.
Yeah.
And what does a generality tell you about a specific person in a specific context? Not a whole hell of a lot, because there's plenty of other information that you can gather that would make that generality basically useless.
Even if women did innately like sex less than men or want sex less than men, why is the argument that women must then conform to what men want? Why isn't it that, oh, well, you know, women just aren't going to want sex as much as men, and so men are just going to have to accept that?
Well, it's because men make that argument.
Exactly. Because these arguments always benefit the dominant class. So I want to talk a little bit about how bad the typical heterosexual sex life really is. It's probably a lot worse than you've heard. Sometime 10 or 20 years ago, this idea that couples, on average, have sex 3 to 5 times a week made its way into the dominant culture. There's no evidence supporting that. There's no evidence supporting that even for young, unmarried, new couples. That's just not reality. Survey after survey shows that sexual frequency is much, much less than that. And I did my own survey on what sex is like for heterosexual couples, because what we see in the scientific literature all the time is that they only ask very surface level questions. How often are you having sex? And sometimes, are you satisfied with it? Because we don't really care about women's experiences beyond that. So I wanted to know what women were saying and what women were experiencing. So I asked women to rate their satisfaction with their sex lives on a 10-point scale. 70% gave a score of 3 or lower. So it's no wonder they don't want to have sex. Like, it starts there.
That's really pathetic, though.
Right?
What kind of sex is that?
Yeah. Well, and these guys obviously know their partners are unsatisfied if it's that bad.
You would think, but...
So I gathered some quotes from this survey. I had like a free answer section where women could just tell me whatever they wanted to. Here's some of what they told me. He wants sex even though he is unwilling to meet my needs in the relationship. He thinks his need for sex is more important than my sleep, being kind to his children, and my needs. My partner ignores me until he wants sex. I don't want to have sex with a person I don't like. He always wants what he wants when he wants it, and thinks he's entitled to it. He has accidentally done things to me that I have not consented to and made excuses to justify his actions as totally innocent misunderstandings.
How do you accidentally do something?
Yeah, I mean, this is like...
That's gaslighting, right? Yeah. It's not a term I like to throw around because I think it's often overused by people who don't know exactly what it means, but I accidentally did that. What did he accidentally do?
Well, I mean, this is like weaponized incompetence applied to sex. Like, I can't tell the difference between the vagina and the butthole.
I assumed that's what she's talking about.
Yeah, there's a lot of like, oh, oops, I just put it in your butt. And then like, oh, oops, I couldn't hear you when you said stop. There's no oops here. When I do say yes, often not really wanting to, his performance is terrible, leaving me angry that I even bothered. My husband is not great at sex and doesn't seem to want to learn. He takes it personally if I talk about things I would like to work on. Well, he should take it personally because it's his fault. He could fix it. Anyway. He is sexually coercive and selfish, and he raped me and assaulted me multiple times.
Whoa, I mean... How many of these women aren't calling things that happened to them rape?
I'm working on a survey right now where I tested that. I asked women specifically, and I haven't released the data yet. I'll be releasing it around the time that this podcast comes out. So I asked women two different questions. Has someone ever forced you to have sex that you didn't want to have? And has someone ever raped you? And women said in, I think, 57% of cases that someone had forced them to have sex that they didn't want to have. And in 35% of cases, they said someone had raped them. So this is something called unacknowledged rape, where it's rape, it meets the legal definition of rape, but women don't acknowledge it as such. And I think that there's a lot of that happening, especially in marriage.
Why don't they acknowledge it?
It's too painful. You don't want to believe that your husband raped you. But also, I think that there's this idea that, like, I'm not a good enough victim. Maybe I deserved it. Maybe if I'd given him what he wanted. I think it has to do with how they feel about themselves and their partners.
Yeah, I think a lot of abuse victims don't want to admit a lot of the things that happened to them because there's a lot of shame surrounding it. That's true in a lot of different contexts, too, but I think it's specifically true here. I also think that they don't see it as rape because, I mean, up until, I don't know how many years ago it was.
It was like 1997.
Spousal rape.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's a lot of men who still think that they're allowed to do that. I mean, 1997, it was legal to rape your wife.
It means our mothers were getting legally raped.
We're talking about one state. Different states have different laws, different countries. But the culture up into the 2000s tolerated this and taught women this. And a lot of these respondents are women who were teenagers at that time.
Well, and let's be clear, we still do tolerate it. Over and over again, women will have rape that they actually acknowledge as such, where their partners will get extremely violent with them, sometimes in front of their children. And they go to a domestic violence shelter. They try to get divorced. They tell the judge in their custody case. And the judge says, well, you know, what he did to you isn't really relevant to the kids.
That does sound like something a judge would say in that context.
So last one. I love my spouse, and he tries, but sex is mostly for him. And it's a rare and extra bonus if it's good for me. Not the norm or expectation. I have never been forced to have sex, but I have also sometimes wondered, couldn't he have just masturbated in the shower instead?
Yes,
and I think this, like,
he could have.
He could have. I think this captures kind of the typical sex experience.
So what does it mean to try in this context? I would like to ask him, what are you doing to try? With the limitless resources you have at your fingertips.
Right.
Stop watching porn videos. They aren't going to teach you anything. And start learning how to actually have good sex. You might actually have to talk to your wife and figure out what kind of stuff she's into. And she probably won't want to tell you because most
times
she
doesn't trust you.
You're a disgusting piece of shit. But for the times that you're not, people are real weird about talking about sex and real, like, shameful. And I think there's a lot of problems there. But I don't know what he's trying to do. It's really not that hard to start laying the groundwork for a healthy and productive sex life, especially for the men. There's a book called She Comes First. I'll save it all for you. That's all you need. That's the rule. If you just follow that rule, things will improve drastically. And if you can't do that, it's because you lack self-control. And if you lack self-control, there's not a secret. You just lack self-control. You need to slow down sometimes. You need to stop sometimes. This is like basic shit,
but there are books
about this.
Yeah. But I think this dynamic is interesting because it kind of captures what's going on elsewhere in couples' relationships, where fundamentally the man lacks self-control. He doesn't want to control his emotions. He doesn't want to control his temper. He doesn't want to have to learn how to do anything differently. There's this idea where men just present in their relationships as, here I am, accept me as I am. And women are constantly trying to improve themselves. And the men would never accept their partners as they are.
Yeah. I just don't understand. I'm still stuck on this. He tries, in quotes. So she obviously doesn't believe he's trying.
If you wanna follow up on that comment, writer, and tell us what you meant by tries, I think we're both really curious. And I think that it would be helpful to hear from people whose partners say that they're trying or who used to think their partners were trying. We would just really like to hear what that looks like. So please comment or email me because I want to know how that dynamic goes.
And there was one that we skipped here. He continues to do things to my body that I said I don't like, using spit as lube, sticking dry fingers, test for wetness. Tell him it's definitely isn't there. It's like, if you need to stick your fingers in to test, it's not there. Like, that's pretty simple. I don't like oral sex done to me because he's bad at it. And despite trying, I can't get him to do it correctly. What the fuck is he doing?
He's probably doing it for like 30 seconds and then being like, oh, not getting what I want.
Yeah. Okay, we'll move on to it.
Okay, so why do women not want sex with their partners? Because that's kind of at the core of this. And Jeff and I talked about this before. One of the most common pieces of positive feedback I get from men is actually about sex. I get a number of emails from men who say that I have helped them improve their sex lives by educating them about what they should be doing differently. And that's nice, but you know, there's all these articles about what do women want? What makes women happy? We're talking about women like they're mice, like they have no way of communicating. You know, women typically can talk and communicate in other ways and tell you what they like. And so it bothers me that these men have not been able to hear from their partners what they need, but they're able to hear it from me. And I think that's alarming. And basically what I'm telling men is that sex is not just for men. Sex has to be appealing, and you have to treat your partner with decency to get her to want sex. And the fact that men have to be taught that is so puzzling to me.
Yeah, I think that's because men just think sex is really just masturbation. They don't understand that the person they're having sex with, well, let me say something about these figures that we have in front of us first, though. What I see here, why women don't want sex. The two highest numbers, I'm tired and my partner doesn't do their fair share around the house. 51% fair share, 79% I'm tired. I think I'm tired is an excuse. Because if you really want sex, you're not too tired. I mean, obviously there's times when, you know, the kids are beating us down or whatever, but I think she just doesn't want sex and doesn't want it enough to overcome the tiredness. And the reason she doesn't want it is because the sex is awful.
But I think we're hearing from a lot of women who are tired in a way that is not familiar to you and me, because like you and I are sharing the burden. They're tired in the way that they have not slept more than like an hour or two uninterrupted for months or years. They don't get a break. They don't ever get any downtime. They don't ever get any time where there's not someone demeaning them. So I think that the I'm tired captures a lot. It captures being really beaten down by your partner and by the life that your partner is forcing you to live.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that.
All right. So you mentioned the statistics. So let's get into the statistics. So I asked women what their reasons are for not wanting to have sex. And let's go down the reasons they gave me. 29% said, I'm not attracted to my partner. 18% said, my partner has bad hygiene. 45% said, I'm angry with my partner. 51% said, my partner doesn't do their fair share around the house. And I want to add that in most of these cases, it's not like they're trying to punish him. It's that it's not sexy to have sex in a filthy house. It's not sexy to have sex with someone who is exploiting you. It's not sexy to have sex when you are feeling overwhelmed. So I think that's what that's really about. 27% said the sex with my partner is bad. 26% said my partner is mean to me. Why would you think that someone would want to have sex with you if you're mean to them? I just, what is wrong with men? 14%, sex is painful for me. And I guarantee you in almost all of those cases, it's because of childbirth or sexual assault. 48%, I have too much to do. Again, why isn't he helping her do it? Why isn't he splitting this load with her? 33%, I can't relax in a messy house. 79%, I'm tired. 35%, this is the one that really pisses me off. He body shames me. Why would you expect to ever again have sex with someone who you have insulted?
Why would you want to have sex with someone you're insulting unless you're only insulting them to try to control them?
Exactly. I mean, most of these men are doing it reflexively or just to hurt and demean their partners.
Right. Because if he still wants sex, he's attracted to you. And if he's attracted to you,
right,
there's no reason for him to be shaming your body.
Well, there's no reason for him to be body shaming you at
yeah,
all.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
But this is something men do with women a lot. And it's so bizarre because by every definition, women put more effort into being attractive to and for men. And they also give up more for men. They get pregnant. They give birth. They go through all of this. And then to go through that and then have your partner insult your body is just so outrageous. So if you are a man who has insulted your partner's body, you need to get down on your knees and beg forgiveness. You will be lucky if she ever wants to have sex with you again. Because I can tell you, if Jeff did that to me, I would never want to have sex with him again, ever. One time is enough.
Yeah, I don't understand why you would say that. I think that also men get a free pass on their bodies, obviously.
Yeah.
Men take pride in their bellies as if it's a source of power or something. I know guys like that. I've seen them.
Yeah.
And there is no reason to ever make your partner feel bad intentionally. Why would you intentionally make your partner feel bad about herself?
Yeah.
To control her.
Right. So here's the most troubling statistic about why women don't want sex. Overall, 70% of women say that their partners have coerced them into sex, and they say that 52% of sexual interactions with their partners are unwanted.
What percent did you say that was?
52% are unwanted.
And what have, how many have been coerced?
70%.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I can't imagine what this feels like, how demeaning and awful this is.
Oh, that's got to be disgusting.
And then to have the guys be like, oh, I don't know why she doesn't want to have sex with me. Dudes, you really don't understand that women are people, do you? Just fundamentally, they don't get it.
Yeah, and you don't understand, like, okay, I guess if you're coercing someone into sex, it's, I guess there's some minority or some percentage of men who feel like that gives them power or something. Do they get off on that? Because there's other ways to, like, have a power disparity in sex that's consensual. You don't have to be coercive. Have your partner do. If she's into you and she enjoys it, she'll do all kinds of shit that she wouldn't do otherwise. I mean, if you want to have sex like those porn videos that your weak ass is watching, you know, because you can't do anything more productive than your time than appeal to your base fucking instincts. You can't even learn how to fuck a woman, so you have to watch videos of other people doing it. If you want to do some of that shit, you need to get her into it. It's never going to happen otherwise. I mean, I don't know what kind of porn videos these guys are watching. It's the risk is that they've gone off the deep end and they're into all kinds of crazy things. You know, porn is like a drug. There was a question that was posed to you about on one of your, I think it was Feminist Advice Friday columns about. Mm-hmm. How can we still have men watch porn and it be okay?
Yeah.
It's like, replace porn with heroin. Well, people really like heroin, so how do we have them keep using it? We can't say don't use it. We have to give them a way to use it. It's like, porn is not helping anyone with anything.
And I just want to add a caveat, because every time I talk about porn, I get a bunch of people who have no familiarity with sex work at all being like, oh, you're an anti-sex worker. No. I absolutely stand in solidarity with sex workers. I worked for years in the corporate department of a strip club. Like, I care about sex workers' rights. I want to see sex workers unionize. I want to see sex workers getting paid, because sex work is work. What I don't want to see is men acting as if they have an entitlement to limitless sex work, and like those women are not people, and then taking that and weaponizing it against their partners. This is not an anti-sex worker thing. This is an anti-misogyny thing.
Yeah, for example, there's eating meat, mm-hmm. and then there's the meat industry.
Yes.
Just like there is sex work, there's pornography, and then there's those industries.
Yeah.
And the ideals of free expression, sexual freedom, free communication about it, those are great.
Yeah.
And no one would ever say they should, neither one of us would ever say they should be illegal. But the industry is an abusive nightmare.
Yeah. I mean, we have to be honest about that. And somehow we can understand that, like, if I say that retailers are abusive, everybody agrees. They don't say I'm opposing retail workers. The same is true of the pornography and sex work industry.
It's the same as anything else. You know, we could all agree heroin use is problematic. That doesn't mean all drugs are bad. we can say the internet porn industry is putting out content that is harmful to everyone.
Yeah.
Without having actually stated a position on the theoretical benefit that pornography could have in a healthy society.
And there's such significant crossover in the women I talk to, where virtually everyone in an abusive marriage has a partner who is watching a significant amount of porn. Do I think the porn made him abusive? No. But I think that men who tend toward being abusive are also attracted to opportunities to own and dominate women. And pornography gives them that opportunity. It is an outlet for those kinds of men. And as such, it's a red flag.
Yeah, absolutely. It's also just a red flag for being an idiot. Like, we don't have much time in this world.
Yeah.
Watching porn doesn't make you good at anything. It doesn't teach you anything. It doesn't help you be better at anything. You could be learning, practicing, training, hanging out with your kids, being a better parent, and you're just watching this shit that is not going to do anything other than make you feel bad, yeah. ultimately, because that's what it does, because it harms your relationship with other people, well, with other women, and it teaches you unrealistic. I mean, look, these women aren't happy, so anyone who's watching porn, I bet a lot of these guys are. It's not helping you be better at sex.
Yeah. All right, so what do women say would make them want more sex? It's really not surprising given what we've just talked about. Here's what they told me. 10% said nothing. 61% said increase romance. 26% said work harder to be attractive. 20% said take a shower or improve your hygiene. 62% said do more around the house or with the children. 50% said be nicer. 36% said help the woman orgasm more frequently. 35% said listen to the woman's sexual needs. I mean, the fact that we have to tell men this is just...
Yeah, but what's interesting is the highest percents are do more around the house and increase romance. Let's talk about increasing romance, because yeah. I think a lot of men will read that as, I should bring a flower home from yeah. work, and maybe I'll make dinner on Friday, and then I get it.
Yeah, this is the vending machine theory of sexuality, of you put a few nice coins in, and the sex comes out. But it doesn't work like that. What these women are talking about is making the relationship feel more romantic, more enticing, and more exciting. Because fundamentally, sex is supposed to be exciting. It's supposed to be something that gets your dopamine pumping. And so you have to make the relationship feel, one, safe by not creating a trash, disgusting house where you abuse her, and two, fun and exciting. So that means, like, you're nice on vacation. You're nice when you come home. You make a meal without expectations. Every time you do something nice and you have an expectation that you're going to get something in return, that actually decreases the effectiveness of that nice action.
Yeah, and when you build, like, expectation, like, you don't just be flirtatious for a couple hours and then be like, now I get sex.
Yeah.
The whole excitement of sex is when you don't know what's going to happen and yeah. you don't know if you're going to get it. Like think of when you were dating.
Yeah,
you know?
That's fun.
Oh, am I going to get to have sex? Or are we going to have sex or not? I don't know. Like, this is fun. You have to recreate that dynamic. And so the increased romance has to be over a period. But also, I would suspect that the increased romance would happen if you do these other two, do more around the house or with the kids and be nicer.
Yeah. Well, and just, like, fundamentally, I do nice things for Jeff and try to make his life better and his life less stressful because I love him. And that's what you should want to do for someone you love, regardless of whether it gets you something in return, because the person you've built your life with is a person who has feelings just like you and needs just like you.
It is, but I think for a lot of these guys, if sex is the thing that has to be dangled in front of them to be better,
true, yeah,
you know, so be it.
If sex is really so, there's this terrible Reddit called Dead Bedrooms, where they give men advice on how to get their partners to have sex.
Oh, I need to read that.
And it's awful, but the main advice is to tell women that sex is a biological need, which it's just not. But if sex is a biological need, if you need sex to survive, then you should be willing to do anything to get it for as long as possible. So just, like, do this simple, basic shit. It's not hard. So what are men's main strategies for getting sex from their partners? We don't have to ask because I asked women, and here's some of what they told me. My partner took photos of me while I was getting dressed and said he would only delete them if I had sex with him. I just know his mood will be bad for days afterwards, so it's just easier to do it. He says if we're not having sex, there's a problem, so I keep doing it so he won't break up with me and leave me homeless. He reduces his selfish asshole meter from 96.7% to 93.2% in the hopes that the negligible amount of temporary improvement arouses me. My partner gives me the silent treatment if I say no. He calls me a rejecter and then complains about blue balls. And then I had a number of women whose husbands all recited the same line about how they were going to get testicular cancer if they didn't have sex. So this, there's some source that's telling men to do that.
They not masturbate? Yeah. Do they not know how to do that?
I mean, they don't seem to know how to do anything else.
Maybe that's the problem.
All right. So then I asked women about sexually abusive behaviors they had experienced from their current partners. And here's what they told me. 19% had partners who ignored it when they said no to sex. 15% had partners who had forced them into sex. The other word for that is rape, partners who had raped them. 10% had partners who demanded sex immediately after the woman had given birth, before a medical provider says sex is safe. This can cause lifelong injuries. 40% had partners who continued to have sex with them even though they are clearly not enjoying it and don't want it. I mean, to me, this is a hair away from rape, and we might as well call it that because it has the same effect on a person's well-being. 26% said their partners coerced them into additional sex acts they didn't want. So, for example, they were having vaginal sex and the partner insisted they have anal sex. This is also rape. 9% had partners who pressured them into physically painful sex. Again, potential lifelong injuries. 55% had partners who told them that they need sex while ignoring the woman's stated needs.
What is this? Is this really about just them getting off, or is this about some power play?
I think it's some of both. Because a lot of these men will do things like walk up to the woman and like hump her in front of an audience and like laugh because they think that's funny. I think a lot of this is like an ownership thing, a woman as an appliance that you own. So I also, I surveyed both men and women. So I looked at the differences between men's and women's sexual experiences, and I think that this is really educational. 98% or men reported orgasming during sex 98% of the time.
Well, yeah, isn't that the definition of sex?
That's what men think it is. For women, the figure is 47%. 0% of men regret getting into their current relationship. 36% of women do. And spoiler alert, in the data set that I'm about to release that pulled a much larger sample, the figure for women is more like 70%. 0% of men say their partners had coerced them into sex. 42% of women say their partners had. 0% of men say their partners have forced them into sex. 15% of women say they have. And 0% of men reported being physically abused by their partners compared to 12% of women.
Yeah, the 40% percent of time people reported orgasming, 47% half the time for women.
And like, that's just an average. So it's probably really more like a significant number of women have 0%, a significant number have like rarely, and then a percent or close to 100% like
could
men.
Be. Yeah.
I think that's probably what it actually looks like. And that's, if I remember the data correctly, that's kind of how it scattered in the data. It was like a small percent said they orgasmed 70% or more of the time. And then most, it was like 25% or less. And yeah.
How much do you think that matters? Like, how much do you think the quality of sex matters in these surveys to these women?
I think.
Do you think it's a quality issue or is it a relationship issue?
I think that a lot of women will say the quality doesn't matter because the relationship is so bad that fixing that is their priority. But, you know, there's this idea that like, well, women don't really need orgasms. Women only have sex to feel connected. And I think that's a fairy tale we tell ourselves to excuse men's sexual inadequacy. Sure, some women don't need to orgasm all the time. Some women don't need the sex to be pleasurable to want to have it. But women are not different from men in meaningful ways here. They like sex and they want to have good sex.
Yeah, I think really what it is it's easy for men to have orgasms, and when their orgasm happens, sex, that's usually seen as the end of it.
Well, and women have such shame about taking, quote, too long to orgasm.
Right.
And so I think a lot of women just give up and they say, oh, I don't really care about orgasms, as a way to avoid feeling the shame that they experience when they expect their partners to keep going. So if we removed that shame, I think the number of women who say they need to have orgasms would be close to 100%.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think men, like, she can tell when you're getting impatient.
Yeah, I mean, men are not very good at concealing their emotions. I was in an appointment with my daughter a couple of days ago, and I was sitting in the waiting room, and there was this guy sitting across the way from me doing something on his phone. And like every couple of seconds, he was just sighing audibly and dramatically. And he was getting more and more animated about this. And like, I see this behavior with men in public all the time of just making a big show of how unhappy they are.
Are you sure he wasn't playing chess and just like hanging his pieces and just being like,
he might've been playing against
I've
you.
I've lost 200 ELO, you know, in this last 2 days, I'm awful at this. That could have been one.
Chet has a habit of waiting to play chess until he is incredibly exhausted and can't stop himself. And so in a single night, he'll lose like, what, 300 points
no,
on his chess score?
No, it's fine. I'm not good at it anyway. It doesn't matter. I just had to insert that joke.
So, you know. So
other things I'm good at. It's not one of them.
So there's this dynamic between men and women that feels individual and personal, but it's not. This is a politicized system that harms women and keeps them focused on pleasing men. And so it should come as no surprise that society then trivializes women's needs and women's sexual experiences. We hear this when we hear things like, women don't need to orgasm, they have sex to connect. Or, well, make her dinner and then she'll have sex with you. Or, you know, women are just different sexually from men and they're not as into sex as men. All this kind of stuff.
What's this love language bullshit?
Okay, so Love Language is this book written by this Christian preacher who invented the idea that people have love language. So like touch, acts of service, words of affirmation. And, you know, it's reasonable to talk to your partner about how they give and experience love. Like that's a meaningful insight.
Sure.
But this love languages thing has been like really weaponized because what's ended up happening is men always say their love language is touch. And what they really mean is fucking, and women will always say that their love language is act of service, and what they really mean is doing household labor. And so then men will say, oh, well, I can't feel loved by you if you don't have sex with me. And then they go to therapy, and the therapist is like, well, you can't expect him to meet any of your needs until you meet his needs. His love language is touch. So, you know, you're just an object who has to have sex with him. So the love languages thing has been like really, really weaponized. And, you know, this makes sense when you think about the fact that, like, patriarchy exists for a reason. It is a system that exists to benefit men, not to hurt women. Hurting women is incidental. So women are tools for men's pleasure, for men's growth, for men's finances. So patriarchy doesn't care about hurting women. So if we can hurt women to help men, patriarchy will do that. And for that to work, society must diminish and dismiss women's experiences and emotions. We must treat them as trivial and unimportant. And I think that this insight is part of why people see me as so radical and extreme, because I say shocking things like women's time is important. And if you are stealing a woman's time, you are stealing her life. I treat women's experiences as important. And in the sex context, I don't think that women should be treated as blow-up dolls and sex toys because they're actual living human beings.
Yeah, so at the beginning, we were talking about quality of sex, or I was talking about quality of sex and kind of making fun of some guys about not being able to do it right. But the truth is, for me, this has always been true. I think it's true for most people I've talked to about it. If the relationship is not healthy, then the sex is not going to be there.
Yeah.
Having a good relationship is a precondition to it. And so I think a lot of this, especially when you look at the high numbers on these surveys, it's not about sex. It's about everything else.
Yep.
You've been talking about.
Yeah.
Stealing time, stealing labor, being abusive, being mean, not helping with the kids, not helping in the house. And if you fix all that stuff, yeah, you know, then you can start working on the sex. But I don't think you're going to be able to become skillful at sex and lure her back in unless everything else changes along with it.
Yeah. Unless she is asexual or she has a serious medical condition.
Or
being a woman and having hormones is not a serious medical condition, by the way. her not wanting to have sex signals something else that's going wrong. And there's almost always something that he can do to improve it.
Yeah, there's a lot of trust issues too. Like if the man has done something like outside the scope of consent once or in the past, that's always going to be in the back of her mind. Mm-hmm. And she's not going to be able to relax if she's worried that you're going to do something.
Men have to recognize the seriousness of their own behavior. Men often try to escape accountability by like not apologizing or by denying that something happened. But all that does is that increases the hurt. Like the only chance you have to fix the harm you've done in the past is to really take full and ongoing accountability for it.
It's a shame because I think the only way most men would never be able to empathize with a woman this way because it would require them to put themselves in her position and that would make them gay. According to the prevailing.
Yeah. I mean, if wiping your butt is gay, empathy definitely is.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess they would say that too. But I mean, maybe you have to imagine yourself in prison and some dude, you know, is this going to work for men? No. How do you, because they don't have to deal with this. Men do sex to women, right?
Yeah.
They don't have it done to them.
Right.
And so until they understand that dynamic and they feel that sort of.
But I think that thinking about how it would feel if a man did it to you is helpful. Because
yeah,
in
but
that,
they aren't going to be able to do that because they're going to be so caught up in their homophobia that they aren't going to be able to use that as a way of like.
If you can't even think about it because it's so unfathomable to you.
Right.
That's how she feels about it, too.
No, that's true. That is true. Like, imagine how it would feel if you know, I'm assuming you're this straight guy. Well, like I've had situations where like I was at a bar waiting for a date. And I was sitting there alone, and I don't know if that was a signal or something, but some guy came up to me and was like getting like close to me, asking me if I could help him read his bill, put his hand on my leg. And I'm like, get your fucking hand off my leg. Like I stand up. I'm like, what's up? What do you do?
Yeah.
And like, that's the kind of shit that women deal with all the time. And like, I got a little bit of it and I was like ready to go. I'm like, you need to get the fuck off me, you know? So I couldn't cope with it. Yeah. I couldn't cope with it, which is like the kind of shit that women have to deal with all the time. And so if you can't imagine yourself in a situation like this and your mind starts freaking out because you can't handle it, that's an indication that you have no idea what it is like and what she deals with.
So we have a story from my dad about this because my dad has really been ranting and raving about this lately, about how we demand emotional labor from girls and women that we never demand from men. And so I know he won't care about me sharing this story because he keeps telling me that I need to write about it, apparently unaware that I'm constantly writing about it. So he was like teaching, he's a lawyer, and he was teaching a class on like appropriate business interactions with people. And one of the people he was teaching was like, I'm just a touchy-feely person. Like, I just like to hug people. I got to help them. I got to show them affection. And my dad was like, well, are you doing that with men or just with women? And the guy immediately got like really aggressive because of course he's not doing it with men. And then he started doing this other thing where every time he saw this guy who's a touchy-feely person, he would force him to give him a hug.
I love it.
And say, I'm just a touchy-feely person. So yeah, dudes, just like think about how it feels when it comes from a man. And that is how your wife feels with you. And like, is that what you want for her reaction to be recoiling at your touch? That's horrific.
And when you do have an opportunity to have sex with your wife, and it's not like one of those I'm whining and she's just going to do it just so I can get it done, just because that's her easiest way through this evening, you need to set aside some time to do it right. Do it slowly. Slow is always better. It's always better. Because it always builds up to something that you couldn't get to if you had done it quickly.
A slow build.
And if you find yourself doing something that is starting to feel boring, don't keep doing it. Don't be bored and do it. She'll pick up on that. Got to back off and do something else.
Yeah.
You're there to entertain yourself. You could be
Yeah, like, entertain yourself and her. It's a skill. Develop and cultivate this skill. If you want to stay married forever, you're going to have to get good at this. So you might as well do it.
Figure out what she's into. Figure out the things that she hasn't told you that she's into. Tell her what you're into. Take one of those sex quizzes that are online. If you're too nervous to talk to your wife about sex, take a sex quiz. I mean,
there are some great quizzes online.
Maybe you'll find out you're both furries. I mean,
there are some really cool quizzes online where you can check everything that you're into and your partner can check everything they're into. And it will only tell you what your partner checked if you checked it too. So it's only if you're a match that you find out about the kinks and interests. And I think that's great. I think that you should take those together. It gives you something to talk about. So that's about all we have for this one. This is the part where I ask you to please leave a review on Spotify or anywhere else where you're listening to this podcast, because the reviews make the magic algorithm make this more visible. Please share widely, especially sharing on social media is really helpful right now because social media does everything it can to make links not visible. Comments and shares also boost visibility. And if you really like the podcast and you are not a current Substack subscriber, you will get at least one extra episode a month by subscribing at zahn.substack.com. And we will
talk. And feedback is valuable too, though, because like if you're like, get this man out of here. She'll kick me out, you know, if there's some topic that we should cover. We're going to try to, I think, cover more topics that are a little bit more outside the immediate scope.
Yeah. And we'll be talking later about relationships where it's the woman who wants sex and the man who does not, or, you know, where there's other kinds of sexual problems. This is just the most common dynamic. So share your experiences with us. Tell us about what you're seeing, because we, of course, like everyone, don't see everything. But if you share your own experiences with us, then we can talk about them in the context of patriarchy and other systems of oppression.